Andy, let's have that passage from the Bible. I love it when you see Bible verses up in big. From John chapter 20, now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you were looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them all that he had said and all these things that he had said to her. Isn't that awesome? The first encounter after Jesus is risen. You know, when I was a kid, I remember the first film that I went to see. And because I'm only 26, it's not that long ago. But actually, I'm a little bit older than that. And it was back in the 70s. And I went to see Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Anyone remember that film? If you don't remember the film, you remember this. And this morning, I want to talk to you about Close Encounters of the Jesus Kind. And after Jesus has risen from the dead, Mary is the first person to encounter Jesus. It's interesting what he says, though, isn't it? He says to her, "Don't cling to me. Don't hold on to the physical me. I'm going to depart back to heaven, but I'm leaving you something amazing. I'm leaving you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to come into you, and you're going to be just like me." Is that awesome? It's absolutely awesome. Now, that was the first appearance, but I want to talk to you about three other close encounters that Jesus has soon after he is resurrected. And the first one, if you want to read it later, is in Luke chapter 24, verse 13. And it's called The Road to Emmaus. And on the road to Emmaus, two disciples who are followers of Jesus are walking along this road and they're discussing everything that's just happened. You would, wouldn't you? When you've seen an event as traumatic as the crucifixion of someone who said that they were the Son of God, it's going to be on your lips, isn't it? It's going to be the first thing you talk about. And these two guys are joined by Jesus. Now, the Bible says that their eyes were restrained from seeing him. In other words, maybe he had a disguise on, or maybe it was just the Holy Spirit shielding who Jesus was from these two guys. And they spend the day walking with him. And they don't know it's him. And while they walk with him, Jesus explains the scriptures. He tells them everything about why it's happened and what's going on. And their hearts burn inside as this man, this stranger, talks. And in the evening, Jesus is going to go on and they persuade him to stay. And so he stays with them. They take a meal and Jesus blesses the food. And as he blesses the food, he is revealed to them. Their eyes were opened and they knew him, it says in the Bible. And then Jesus leaves and they say, hasn't our heart been on fire since the moment we met this man? And Jesus reveals himself in a whole new way to these two men. And that was the first encounter. Do you know what I love about Jesus? If it had been me that had risen from the dead, I'd have come back with bright lights, loud music, big drums, and a whole load of "I told you so." Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? I think every person in this room would do that when you consider the suffering and the scorn and the doubt that that man went through before he was crucified. That's what I would do. Here's the good news. I'm not Jesus. Jesus is Jesus. And he doesn't even reveal himself. The Savior of the world is so humble that he allows people to just talk freely without even revealing himself. Until he needs to. And they're amazed. And they're amazed. I love that about Jesus. And I'm so glad that I'm not the Savior of the world, but that he is. And maybe today you're sat in this room and you've heard of Jesus. You've heard the stories. You've even maybe been to church once or twice. But today you hear these words. You see what's gone on in that pool. You breathe in what's happening in this church. And for the first time in your life, something burns inside of you. Jesus is revealing himself to you right now, this morning, for the first time. Well, hold that thought, because I have good news for you in about 10 minutes' time. The second encounter is called Breakfast with the Disciples. It's not necessarily in the order that these things happen, but I want to talk to you about Breakfast with the Disciples. Imagine, if you will, a week or so after Jesus has been crucified. Imagine, if you will, that Mary has told them that she's seen him. Their life has taken a whole new direction, because for 3 years they've been following this man, and now he's not there. And so what they do is what we all do. When you're unsure, you go back to what you know. "Let's go fishing," said Peter. They were all fishermen, so they get back in a boat, and that night they all go out fishing, and they catch nothing. Absolutely nothing. And coming into shore the next day, there is a man stood at the shore, and he cries out to them and says, "Have you any food?" And they say, "No, we've caught nothing." And the man on the beach says, "Let down your nets one more time." And as they do, they catch a load of fish. The Bible says 153, which is a lot of fish in one net. So much in that net that they have to get other boats to come and help them. And at that, one of the disciples called John looks at this man on the beach and says, "It's the Lord. It's the Lord." And in that moment, Peter, one of the disciples, clothes himself, because he was probably just wearing a pair of Calvin Kleins to fish, clothes himself and dives into the water, dives to make his way to Jesus, and leaves everybody else to collect the fish and bring them in. See, that's Peter all over. Peter was headstrong. Peter would act first and think later. And that's the kind of Peter that we hear about here. He dives in to go and see Jesus. And there on the beach, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the conqueror of sin and death, cooks them breakfast. What kind of Savior is this? He not only conquers sin and death, but he cooks them breakfast as well. I'd have loved to have been there, sat on a beach, around a fire, eating breakfast with the born-again Savior. Must have been awesome. But you know, there's an interesting conversation with the very man who's jumped into the sea to see him, Peter. You know, Peter denied Jesus 3 times, as Jesus predicted. And in his shame, after he denied Peter and a cock crowed, he fled, ashamed of what he'd done. And now here we are, just a few days after he's done that, and the man he denies is sat right next to him. And he isn't just sat next to him, he's just fed him. He's just fed him breakfast. And Jesus has to have a conversation with this man. And he says to him, "Peter, do you love me?" If I'd have been Jesus, I'd have had a completely different conversation with Peter. I'd said to him, "See how wrong you were. See how weak you are. See how doubtful you are. Look at me. I'm back. And you doubted me 3 times. Get away from me. I don't want to see you anymore. But I have good news this morning. I'm not Jesus. Jesus is Jesus. And all he wants to know, Peter, is, do you love me? Do you love me?" And three times Jesus asks Peter, to the point where in the end, Peter is so exasperated with the questioning. He kind of loses it. Lord, I love you more than anything, more than anyone. I love you, he says. And on the back of his confession, Jesus says to him, tend my sheep. He makes him the shepherd of the church. Peter doesn't know it yet. He's going to be a major player in the growth of the church of Jesus. But he's got to check first. He's got to check. He says, do you love me the first time? Peter says, yes. He says, feed my lambs. These people are vulnerable, Peter. They're vulnerable people. They're just small children, really. Feed them properly. And then he says, do you love me again? And he says, I do. And he says, tend my sheep. In other words, I'm going to make you a leader of these people. Look after them properly. And then finally, when he asks him, do you love me a third time? And he says, you know I love you. Jesus says, feed my sheep. Don't just look after them. Don't just tend them. Don't just make sure they're okay. I want you to shepherd the nation. I want you to shepherd my church. What awesome news for a man who just a few days earlier had fallen so badly. This man had publicly denied Jesus, that even had anything to do with Jesus. A small girl turned him into a quivering wreck, and he fled in tears at the crowing of a cockerel. And now, just days later, on the confession of his love for Jesus, Jesus restores Peter. He restores a fallen man and gives him a fresh start. Is that you this morning? Have you found yourself in a position where you've fallen? Well, good news. Today, you can have a fresh start. You can be completely and fully restored. And not just restored, barely alive, but taken to a position of use. Taken to a position of importance. Taken to a position of blessing. Because that's what Jesus thinks of you. He loves you. He loves you so much. And he just wants to restore you this morning. Maybe that's you. And all Jesus wants to know is, do you love me? The third encounter that I want to talk about is when Jesus appears to the disciples for the very first time. Remember we read about Mary meeting Jesus? Well, that was on the morning. On that same day, I want you to imagine this. The closest disciples of Jesus are really scared. I think I would be, you know. I've followed this man for 3 years. I've preached what he said. I've followed his ways. I've believed in everything he said. And now he's gone. What do we do? If that was us, what do we do? What do we do now he's gone? Well, this is what they did. They got into a room and they closed the doors. And they hid. And they hid behind locked doors. Because they didn't know what on earth to do. And then something absolutely amazing happens. Through locked doors and walls, the Son of God appears to the disciples. He walks through any blockage and gets to them. And he appears to them, and the first thing that he says is, peace to you. Now, I don't know what you walked through those doors with this morning, but maybe your life's a mess. Maybe you're in turmoil. Maybe you're really worried and you're really scared about something in life. The first thing Jesus wants to say to you today is, peace to you. Peace to you. You know, I've heard stories of people that have worked for the United Nations and everything they've ever tried to do to bring a stop to fighting and wars and stuff all around the world. And whenever these people are interviewed, they say to them, what are you trying to achieve? And they say, we just want peace. We just want peace. And man's never been able to achieve it. And yet Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, does it in just one sentence. And he walks into a room and says, peace to you. And for some of you this morning, you just need to receive that peace. Maybe you're feeling desperate today. Receive the peace of the risen Jesus. And the second thing he does after saying it to them again is this. He says, as the Father has sent me, I also sent you. You see, we're saved thanks to Jesus and all he's done. And we're redeemed. But we're also commissioned. You know, it's great, isn't it, to live in our forgiveness and grace. It's awesome, isn't it? But it's like living in a perfumed bath and never getting out of it. What happens, I don't know if you've had this, but what happens to me in a bath after about 10 minutes is I go all wrinkly. I can't get any cleaner. I'm only just starting to get really wrinkly and horrible. You've got to get out and go and do stuff. And you know, the church is great for you. Come in, get zapped with the Holy Spirit, and then get out. Because that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, I've done this, and I commission you now to go out and do all of this. But not in our own strength. So many people try and do stuff in their own strength. I know Christians who are worn out from trying to win souls for Jesus because they do it in their own strength. And that was never God's plan and never Jesus' instruction because the next thing he does is he breathes on them. He breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, some people might think, oh, he breathes on them. Let me just explain what kind of breath this was. I have young kids, all right? And they're still of an age, even my daughter, where on a morning sometimes, when they've just woke up, they like to get in our bed. And when they do, it's really nice. And if I use our James as an example, because he's not listening, but he will now. He gets right up close to me, and I look at his face, and I think, oh, he's gorgeous him. I wonder who his dad is. And then he speaks, and I'm like, whoa. Have you been eating horse manure or something? Don't assume human breath. That's not the breath that Jesus breathed on them. He breathed the breath of heaven on those people. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want you to go out into the world in your own strength. He wants you to go out in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we live our lives, folks, every day in the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul says, Christ is in me. It's funny, you know, as I'm preparing this for today, on Tuesday morning this week, just as I wrote, Christ is in me, the doorbell went, and I went to the door, and it was a Jehovah's Witness. It was a Jehovah's Witness. Moments before that, I had another fresh realization that Jesus Christ lives in me. He lives in me. He has breathed on me, and I have received the Holy Spirit. And nothing amazing happened with this person when they came to see me, but it just sort of helped me again know that Jesus lives in me and that I am full of the Holy Spirit. I'm full of the helper that Jesus said he would leave for us. And maybe today you'd love that. You'd just love to be filled with the Holy Spirit, maybe for the first time, maybe afresh, anew, brand new. Well, receive the Holy Spirit this morning. Let Jesus breathe on you again. And then there's a final encounter that I want to talk to you about. The Thomas encounter. You see, when Jesus appeared to the disciples, Thomas wasn't there. It's interesting, isn't it? The very same day that Mary brings this news, Thomas is missing. Where do you go in those events? What more important thing is there for you to do on that day than be with the disciples, than be with them? And yet in less than a day, Thomas has drifted. He's drifted away from where he's meant to be. He chose not to be at that meeting, and it's funny, you know, but I love a guy called Adrian Plass. Anyone ever heard of Adrian Plass? Adrian Plass is a really funny poet, and he writes really funny stories and funny books. And I saw him once live at a Christian event called Spring Harvest 3 years ago. And when you go to Spring Harvest, you have a choice of lots of different events that you can go to. You can go to this meeting, or you can go to this meeting, or you can go to this meeting. And because they were spoiled with choice, Adrian Plass would say to his wife, oh, I'll go to this meeting in this tent, and you go to that meeting in that tent. And then he'd go to this meeting and he'd think, oh, this is really naff. And then he'd meet up with his wife and she'd say, what was that meeting like? And he'd go, oh, it was really naff. And he'd like, what happened in yours? And she went, oh, the power of the Holy Spirit was amazing. 9 people exploded. And Adrian Plass is like, I missed the meeting, didn't I? I went to the wrong meeting. Talk about a man missing the right meeting. Here we have Thomas, who in just a matter of hours from Mary bringing this news, has found himself distracted and moving away from the body of the church. In hours, just in a matter of hours, his level of commitment and faith has waned in no time. So much so that when the disciples tell Thomas later that they've seen him, he doesn't believe them. Until I put my hand in his side and in his hands where the holes are, I won't believe, says Thomas. And Jesus does eventually come back to Thomas, and Thomas believes. But he goes on to say, how much more for those who believe without seeing. Maybe this morning you're a bit of a Thomas. Maybe you drift away from where you know you should be. Maybe your level of commitment is a bit questionable. Maybe you miss those meetings that were absolutely intended for you. Maybe there's experiences that other people have had, and you're like, oh, I wish that would happen to me. That never happens for me. Well, maybe it's because you're not where you should be. And this morning, I challenge you. I challenge you to get back in the right meetings. I challenge you to get back to where Jesus wants you to be. And I just want to give you an opportunity this morning to respond. So if I could just ask you to close your eyes. I've talked about a number of types of people this morning. The first type of person that I want to talk about is someone that's maybe never yet said yes to Jesus. You know, some of those people that we saw this morning have said yes to Jesus, and he's now amazing in their life. Maybe that's you. Maybe for the first time, you feel something this morning. Your heart's pounding, and you'd love to just say yes to Jesus. If that's you, I'm just going to ask you to do something really brave, really quickly. If for the first time ever in your life you want to say, yes, Jesus, I'd like you to come into my life, just raise your hand, just really quickly. If that's you, and you'd like to say yes to Jesus for the first time, just raise your hand. Okay. The second person that I want to talk to is the person that would love to hear Jesus and it burn within your heart. Maybe you've become cold to the works of Jesus. Maybe it isn't amazing to you anymore that this man would come down from heaven, leaving everything behind, to live a life that had one purpose, to die for you and for all of your sins. Maybe you've become hard. Maybe even now, this morning, you walked into that room thinking, what's the big deal? Well, Jesus wants to ignite you this morning and burn within you. If that's you, why don't you just open up your hands and receive Jesus right now? Lord, I ask that you take away any coldness, take away any harshness right now. Burn with fire. Maybe this morning you'd love for Jesus just to breathe on you. Well, right now, wherever you are, just receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the breath of heaven. Receive the Holy Spirit right now. Maybe you want topping up. Maybe you've never had it before. Receive the Holy Spirit right now. Or maybe you're one of these people that misses things. You've drifted. You know you've drifted. You're in for 5 minutes and you're full on, and then you're out for ages. People have come to the point where they don't know where you're at. You don't know where you're at. Well, this morning, just like Peter, there can be full restoration. Full restoration. If that's you, just receive that now from heaven. Receive full restoration right now in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for dying for us. But we celebrate this morning your victory over sin and death. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, because you're real, you're here, you're inside of us, you're our ultimate helper, and we love you. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you've done for us. And we ask today, Lord, that you would just fall on us, soak us right now with your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.